count this a blessing we own. I do. I count it a blessing to be with you this week, all this week. And as Keith said, this is our second time to be together. I was with Keith and Rita up in Ohio, enjoyed them very much, and just appreciate them so very, very much. And I'm glad to know that they're with you here at Harrisburg, and I know that you'll be to them the encouragement and the help that they'll need, and they will to you. So it sounds like a good marriage, a good blend, and appreciate it. Appreciate knowing that so much. And, you know, I think a lot of Harrisburg. I go back a long time, and I kind of feel by you like Paul did the brethren at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I've got some fond memories of people who were members here. And Brother Hahn, when he was here, he was such an encouragement to me when I first started preaching over at Willisburg in Washington County. And he and his wife remain good friends of ours yet to this day. I want to begin a study by reading with you from the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this or even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." We're going to use that as our text in just a moment. But let me say something to you about the gospel meeting. I want to encourage you to be here every night that you can and invite others to come with you in our studies together this week. If you do invite people here, I want to make you a promise. I will not say or do or conduct myself in any way that will cause you to be embarrassed or ashamed that you invited someone. So please, let's work together and let's just have a good meeting and let's work together diligently so that the cause of our Lord will prosper this week and that God will in some way be glorified. Also, I want to make myself available to you if you have somebody that you want me to visit, or someone that you want me to study with or just talk with, you just let me know. And I'll be available to you or to any need that you have all this week that I am here. And I just make that promise to you. Now, as we begin our study, I want to ask you a question about some people that you will recognize from the Bible. Now, as this list goes before you, you may look at them and think that there is no similarities between them at all. But I want to ask you, what possible connection, what possible similarity exists between, let's say, Joseph in the Old Testament? We remember the story of Joseph and how that he was the favored son of his father, and because of that, he was given things that caused his brothers to hate him. And when his brothers hated him sufficiently, they decided they were going to sell him as a slave. Well, wanted to kill him, but his older brother Reuben prevented that. And so they sold him into captivity to the Midianites, who later put him on a slave market in Egypt, and he became the household servant of Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. And we know all of the problems that existed about Joseph, and how that he was unjustly imprisoned and came out of that and became a great man in Egypt. Well, what about Jephthah? Jephthah was a judge, you remember, who made a rash vow that he vowed to God that the first thing that he saw on returning home, he would offer as a burnt offering to God. And his daughter was the first that came out of his house. We read about Jephthah being mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. He was a great man that was included in God's honor roll of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And then there's Tamar. Tamar, the daughter of, I don't know, there are several Tamars mentioned in the Bible, but this is the daughter of David, who was raped by her half-brother Amnon. And we know the story about that and how tragic and how disgusting that story was. And then there's Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament. Saul of Tarsus, who was a great persecutor, and what I mean by great, not great in the sense of being a wonderful man, but great in the sense of great was his anger and great was his wrath against the church. And he hauled men and women and put them in prison. He even was responsible for the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And then there's Peter. Peter was a man who was one of the original apostles, and we know that Jesus told him that he would deny the Lord, and he did. He denied the Lord three times. That was to his shame. Now, having looked at those and kind of given you a synopsis or a cliff note version of their lives, what possible similarities do you see in these people? There probably would be a lot, but the one thing that I want to focus on is that all of these people were able to rise above their past. All of these people were able to accomplish great things, even though there were some problems, serious problems, in their past. All of them were able to overcome their past. They refused to be locked into the past. Now, I say that because I want to point out to you that that doesn't make them spiritual giants. Being able to overcome your past is not going to make you not going to be dependent upon you being a spiritual giant. There are other people that I have known in my lifetime who were able to overcome their past. There's this woman, and all of these are pseudonyms. There's this woman that I'll call Becky. She was a young woman that was raised in the church that decided that after going off to college, she was going to abandon the Lord. She abandoned the Lord. She actually became a prostitute, addicted to heroin, and she prostituted herself in order to support her habit. But yet, that lifestyle did not keep her. She was able to make her way back to the Lord. And even this day, as we speak, she is a faithful Christian, a wonderful, wonderful person, a good friend of ours. She refused to let the mistakes and the sins of her past define her. She overcame those. And then there's a couple that I'll call Al and Karen who came to my office, and they're just symbolic of a number of couples I've talked to. And the first time that they came to my office and I saw the whipped look on his face, I knew what the problem was. And I said, "How can I help you?" And he said, "Well, J.R., I have committed adultery." And so through several sessions that we had together, they were able to restore their marriage and rebuild their relationship and raise good kids. And they're doing so even today. And so they were able to overcome their past sins and mistakes. And then there's a man that I'll refer to as Mark. Mark was a man that decided that he was going to experiment with his sexuality, and he decided, having been raised by Christian parents, that he was going to express himself in the homosexual lifestyle. And that's the lifestyle that he chose for a while. But then living out west, he came to himself and he repented of that and he came home as the prodigal son did. And he was restored to the Lord and he's faithful to God this day, worshiping in another state. And then there is a man that I'll refer to as Carl. Carl was raised in an abusive home. Carl was able to witness his mother one time being beaten by his father, stripped of all of her clothing, drug out in the middle of the street, and kicked and left there. Carl witnessed that, and yet he was not locked into the past. He was able to overcome that abusive childhood and is a loyal and faithful Christian even this day. Now, my friends, all of these were able to overcome their past. They were able to move beyond the things that occurred in their life. Now, there are other people who can't do that. I have encountered people who are unable to overcome the trauma and the problems of their past. And they just live dwelling upon the issues of their past life. And they're just unable to get over that. And they're unable to have a productive now because they can't conquer the past. Now, let me ask you, how is it some people are able to do that? How is it some people are able to conquer the past and yet others are locked into the past, and that tends to define who and what they are? Now, the text, my friends, that we read from Philippians chapter 3 gives us the key to this. There's a statement found in those verses that we read in Philippians chapter 3 that teaches us how we can conquer our past. But before looking at that, I want to remind you that the Bible points out some people who were able to conquer their past. The Corinthians, as a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, he said. But they overcame that. As he said in the second Corinthian letter, chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But again, I ask the question, how are we able to do this? How can we conquer the past? The Corinthians used to be this way, but now they're saved, now they're new, now they've overcome. Well, let's notice the passage that tells us the key. The Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's how you conquer the past. That means to be put out of the mind, as in Matthew 16 and verse 5. When they forgot to bring bread, this is something that is put out of their mind. Now Paul says, in order to conquer the past, in order to press on to the goal that is before you, you have to be able to forget the past. Now there's no doubt in my mind that many of us have had things in our past, whether we've done them or they've been done to us, that have left scars. There have been things that we've done or that have been done to us that bring pain. They're difficult obstacles in our life. They're thorns that we've got to live with. But even at that, they can be conquered if we're willing to forget. And let me show you some things that we need to forget. If you're going to be able to be a productive Christian, and you're going to be able to press on to the goal that is before you, some things that you need to be able to forget is your past life. Put it behind you. Put your past life behind you totally. Forget your past life. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts this in Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 4 rather. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21, he talks about being taught the truth in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now what we've got to do, my friends, according to this particular verse, is recognize that now that I am a Christian, I am a new being, I am a new creation, I'm to put entirely behind me that past life. That's called repentance. You put that past life behind you. It's over, it's done. As Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, you're not to be conformed to this world, but you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember, old things have passed away. Put these things away. Put them behind. They're done. Over. Let me tell you something. I'm going to just be very frank with you right here about something. Do you know the reason why we have many times so many spiritual casualties in the church? So many, you know, you see people baptized, you see people becoming Christians, and man, before long you find they've gone back into the world. They've renounced, they've lost their faith. Somebody said, well, where's so-and-so? Well, he quit the Lord. Well, he quit the church. Or, well, she just quit coming, and she's gone back to the way that she used to live. Why is that? I want to submit to you that I believe one of the reasons why this is because they have failed to put behind them their past life. They're dragging it with them. Let me show you what I mean. Let me give you some illustrations of what I mean by that. People who just are unable to let go of the past, unable to just put to death the old person. You've got to put that person to death. You take a person, man, I tell you what,
I sure remember what it was like before I become a Christian, man, coming home on a hot afternoon and mowing the yard, and I remember how good it felt to, and how good it tasted to go in and get that beer and sit out there in the shade and just have that good cold bottle of beer. Man, I tell you what, I miss that. And I'm going to tell you, the person that says that and the person that lives that way is going to, quote, struggle with drinking. Do you know why he struggles with drinking? Because he's not let go of the past. Put it behind you. Put that past life behind you. Stop dwelling on it, stop fantasizing about it, and stop longing for it. Our past life should have been sufficient, as Peter says, to do the will of the Gentiles, 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. Put it behind you. I'll give you another illustration of that. Person that says, well, I tell you what, I can remember all the good times, man, we used to have going to the clubs and going to the bars. And I can remember the fun that we had dancing and all of the DJs and all of that. Hey, that person is going to struggle with dancing and struggle with bars and struggle with the clubs. And do you know why he's struggling? Because he keeps bringing it up, he's ruminating it in his mind again and again and again. Put it behind you. Leave that life. Let go of it, because if you don't, you keep dwelling on it, you keep thinking about it, pretty soon the allurement is going to draw you back. As the Israelites said to the flesh pots of Egypt, you're going to be drawn back to that. Let go of it. Oh man, I can remember. I remember how fun it was, man, when I played the field. Man, I had a babe on my arm, a different babe on my arm every Friday night. I remember how it was like, you know. And I tell you what, a person that just fantasizes, oh, he, you know what, he's going to struggle with adultery. He's going to struggle with fornication. And the reason that he's struggling with it is because he's not put it out of his mind. He's not been transformed by the renewing of his mind. Put it out. Let go of it. Somebody said, well, I tell you what, I just remember how good it was, man, to have that cigar, to have that cigarette, or put that pinch of skull behind my lip. Man, I remember the feeling that I had, the nicotine rush. I remember that. Let go of it. Because if you don't, you're going to struggle with addictions the rest of your life. Let go of it and move on. Put behind you your past. You'll never conquer your past until you put your entire past life behind you. Jesus addressed this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, if you take hold of the plow and look behind you, he said, you're not fit. That's what the Lord said. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. Divided loyalty will never take us to heaven. I'll never succeed as a Christian. There's no way that I can be successful in pressing to that goal that is set before me until I put behind me my past life. Put it behind you. I tell people, you know, repentance is not just turning over a new leaf. It's cutting down the tree. You want to repent, you put your past life behind you. You don't sit and think about it, dwell on it, fantasize, or bring it up. You put it behind you. And at the same time, you need to put behind you, once you become a Christian, all of your past guilt. Put it behind you. Let go of it. Now, Paul said, I have forgotten those things that are behind, in order that I may press on to the goal that is before. That's the same man. That's the same man who persecuted Christians. That's the same man who would have been responsible in part of the death of Stephen and perhaps many others. That's the same man who described himself in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 as the chief of sinners. And yet he said, what you've got to do is forget those things that are... You cannot go back and undo what you've done. You can't go back and get it right. So you've got to let go of it. You've got to put behind you your past guilt. Woman said,
One time, you know, she was dwelling on some things that she had done. She said, I just hate myself. I just cannot forgive myself. She said, I made some mistakes in my life and I was in prison and unable to attend my mother's funeral. And every time that I think about that, I hate myself. She can't go back and undo that. A man who has taken medication every day for genital herpes. He said, I hate myself for my promiscuous life. I hate myself for the things that I have done. And I can understand at least in part that. But once, my friends, we have been cleansed, once we have been forgiven, once we have arisen and were baptized and wash away our sins as per Acts 22 and verse 16, we've got to let go of the guilt. If we don't, we'll never make it. If all I do is sit around and out and feel guilty over all of the things that I've done, I will never be a productive Christian. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, I'm going to tell you, my friends, if he had not let go of that guilt and forgot those things. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He never forgot that these were done. I'm sure, like David, his sin was ever before him. He mentions it several times. And I'm sure that there was a great deal of regret on his part for his sinful and his abusive behavior. But had he not put this behind him, there's no way that he would have ever went on one, let alone three, evangelistic journeys. He never would have established one, let alone hundreds of local churches. He would have never baptized one, let alone perhaps hundreds of individuals, into the Lord, if he was not able to put this behind him. Now maybe your past and maybe my past includes fornication, adultery, drunkenness, homosexuality, you name, maybe it includes cruelty to one degree or another. But listen to me, friend, if God has forgiven you and you've come to the Lord and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you've made a commitment to serve Him and to repent of your sins and to abandon those, and you have received His mercy and His forgiveness, then let go of it. To spend the rest of your life dwelling upon the way that things should have been or could have been or would have been if you had made different choices, I'm telling you, it's going to rob you of today. And you will be productive in the kingdom of God. And I tell people, rather than spending your lifetime dwelling on your past and feeling guilty over your past, hey, what you need to do is use the mercy of God as a stimulus to stimulate you to do more in the kingdom of God. Paul puts it this way. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, he says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? How many of us feel, hey, you don't have any fruit in that life? Man, there's nothing good come out of that life. Well, what fruit did you have in those things where you're now ashamed? He said, for the end of those things is death, but now, verse 22. But now, he says, having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God, and you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Okay, now you're a Christian. Now you've been forgiven of all these things. Use that as a springboard to do righteous, good deeds in the kingdom of God and lead others to the Lord. What did David say in Psalm 51 when he begged God to forgive him for his sins, to create within him a clean heart? David said, then I will teach sinners your way. Accept the mercy of God. Put behind you your past guilt. And use that to lead others to the Lord and find that forgiveness that they desperately need. So put behind you your past life, put behind you your past guilt, and that is, forget about them. And put behind you your past failures. And I know this is very similar to your past guilt. But how many of us have ever said, man, did I blow that? Boy, I sure messed up that. I sure blew it then.
Now, how many of us have ever said that or thought that or said or thought something very similar to that? Okay. Yeah, we blew it. Yeah, I failed, and I failed miserably. Yeah, you may feel, I did too. I really blew it this time, man. I tried, and yet, even though I tried, I just made a blunder out of it. I made a mistake. What do you do now? Okay, I'm going to grant you, you blew it. You made a mistake. Maybe you said something to somebody you shouldn't have said. Maybe you did something you shouldn't have done. Okay, you blew it. You just made a tremendous blunder. What do you do now? Do you go off somewhere in your room and get in the bed and pull the covers up over your head and just lay there all day? Is that what you do? You blew it. What do? Go in your room and look out the window and just sit there and stare at empty space all day? Is that what you do? Do you just get in front of the television and sit there and watch television all day? Okay, you blew it. Get up. Get on your knees. Ask God to forgive you. If you've offended somebody, go ask that person to forgive you. And get it right the next time. Don't quit serving the Lord. Don't quit the human race. Get it right the next time. We talked about the Apostle Peter. You remember what Peter said in Matthew 26 and verse 33? Jesus talked about he was going to be forsaken by all of his disciples. Peter said, whoa, hold on, Lord. Not me. All of these will, if all of these forsake you, if all of these deny you, it won't be Peter. I won't do it. You can count on me. I don't trust James and John. They, you know, sons of thunder. They'll have to do that. But you can count on me. I'm not going to do it. But you know what he did? You stay in that same chapter and you find that he went to the courtyard of the high priest and to little girls or to maidens. He denied the Lord. He became a bowl of jello. And he denied the Lord exactly as the Lord said that he would. I'm going to tell you something. He failed. He blew it. Okay. Yeah. You made a fool of yourself, Peter. You made a promise to the Lord you didn't keep. You denied the Lord. So what do? You read John 21 when the Lord came to him and he was restored. You remember the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You know what? The Lord said, Peter, okay, get it right. Get it right. You blew it. Get it right. And you know what? You read in Acts 2 and verse 14. Peter lifted up his voice with the 11 men of Jerusalem. Hear my words. He preached the gospel. And his recorded sermon indicates that about 3,000 obeyed the gospel. He was getting it right. In Acts chapter 10, it was Peter that the Lord chose to go to the household of Cornelius and the Gentiles. And you and I ought to be grateful to God for that. We're able to be brought into the kingdom of God. Get it right, Peter. And he did. He got it right. Didn't make him sinlessly perfect, but he got it right. As a matter of fact, he wrote 1 and 2 Peter. Read and study about that today. Getting it right. I think about John Mark. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their first evangelistic journey. Acts 13 and verse 13 says he went so far and he decided to go home. He left Paul and Barnabas. I'm going back. And he did. And Paul didn't like it. And when Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15 were getting ready to go on another evangelistic journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him, and Paul said, "Nuh-uh, not taking him. I don't want to take him." Why? Because he failed. He made a mistake. He made a bad choice. And Paul and Barnabas split up. Paul went with Silas. Barnabas teamed up with John Mark. You know what? We can debate who was right, who was wrong, Paul or Barnabas in that. That's not the point of this. The point is that later on in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, hey, by the way, bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to me for ministry. You know what Mark was doing? He was getting it right. I don't know why he went back, but he was getting it right the next time. As a matter of fact, He is credited John Mark, who blew it, John Mark, who abandoned Paul on that first evangelistic journey, John Mark is credited with writing the book of Mark that's in your Bible, which is the second gospel. He was it right. And that's no difference from you and I. You know, maybe you failed. Don't dwell on it. Repent, correct it, and press on. Maybe you failed as a parent. Maybe you failed as a spouse. Maybe you failed as a neighbor, as a Christian. Don't quit serving the Lord. Pick yourself up, confess it to God, and press on to the goal that is before you, no matter what our failures are. We can be like John Mark and we can become profitable for ministry. Put behind you your past life if you plan on pressing on, and your past guilt and your past failures. And also put behind you your past wounds. And what I mean by that is when somebody has injured you, when somebody has done to you or said to you something that has injured you or has wounded you, put this behind you. You remember what Paul said in Ephesians, the fourth chapter in verse 32. He said, what you need to do, folks, is be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, somebody hurt you. Somebody offended you. Somebody broke your heart. Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody crushed your spirit. Don't spend your life dwelling on that. Because if you do, I guarantee you, you're not going to press on. You're going to camp right there, and you're not going to move beyond that. Now, Jesus has left us the perfect example of this. In 1 Peter 2, verses 20 through 23, when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. And when when Jesus suffered, he did not threaten in return. You know, I read in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was dying upon the cross in John 19 in verse 30, just before he died, he cried out, "It is finished." Now, I don't believe Jesus was talking about he was defeated. I believe he was claiming victory there. God's plan of salvation was opening up. It's finished. The work that I came to do, I have finished that work. But I believe what Jesus is doing is claiming also that because of that work, salvation is available for all people. That includes those who were standing around the cross weeping at the death of our Lord. Those disciples and those women who did not abandon Him, they were there and Jesus was dying for them. It's finished. I've opened up salvation for you. But I believe He was also saying, "It is finished. I've opened up salvation not only for those who were standing around the cross, but for those who drove the nails in my hands and for those who pierced my side. Salvation is open to the liars who testified against me and the sinners who took me to the cross and the Romans who nailed me to the cross. Salvation is open to all. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I know there are requirements based upon that. But this is giving us an example. This is giving us an attitude that we are to possess. We're not to keep a ledger and a list of all the wounds that have been done to us. If we do, I promise you, you'll not move beyond that. You'll stay there till the day you die. And you'll not press on to the goal that is before you. Now, if you want to conquer your past, and you want to press on to that wonderful goal of heaven, forget your past life, let go, change your mind about it. Your past guilt, your past failures, your past wounds. I knew a fellow, he's passed on now, is one of the most contented and happiest Christians that I ever knew in my life. He ran a little country store. And he gave up that store. That was his livelihood. He gave up that store. And basically, I almost went into just abstract poverty. And yet he was happy, he was content, he was at peace with himself, and he was at peace with everybody else. And often wondered why he gave up his little country store. It was not lucrative, but it was making a living. One day I was down at his house. We got to talking about that, and he said, come in here, I want to show you something. I went into the bedroom, and he got down on his knees and pulled a box out from underneath the bed. He said, I want to show you why I quit the store. And he opened that box up, and it was filled with checks that had been written to him by people in the community, his neighbors, people who traded in his store. And these checks were cold. They were no good. He was never able to collect. And he said, this is why I had to quit the store. He said, folks weren't paying me. And I was going in debt and I couldn't make it. And I said, man. I said, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. He said, I couldn't pursue this. He said, so I just let it go. Then a big grin come across his face. And he said, and I've adopted this philosophy. He said, Brother J.R., if they can live with the money that they owe me, I can live without it. I've let go. And he did let go. And he pressed on. And I believe he died in hope. You want to press on to the goal that is before you. You let go of the past. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's a wonderful beginning. You have the power to become God's child. If you're willing to repent of your sins, that's turn from them. You're going to see me doing this all week. I'm making a gesture. You know, you're going away from God. Godly sorrow produces repentance. You change your mind and now you repent toward God. You're coming back doing the things God wants you to do. You let go of that old past. It's the old man that you put to death. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in the water for the remission of your sins and be raised to walk in newness of life. And let go. Go of the past guilt, past failures, past wounds. Get rid of the past. One day you'll hear the Lord say, well done. You're subject to invitation. We urge you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.